It's game time!
Urban Media Today talks sports. Can you hear me? Oh, because I want you to hear me loud and clear. This is going to be an awesome show. Of course, we have Cliff McAfee Jr., Ray Porter Jr., Keith Flat Jr., Coach and David are not here right now. They're both juniors. Vince, you know how that goes, Vince. James, I have to ask you this. We have James Verrett here. James, you're not a junior, are you?
Well, actually, I must be the only one. No. I'm the third.
We'll take that.
The show's always dominated by juniors, and people are probably getting tired of my old joke talking about juniors because I mention it every show. Vince is my man. It's me and Vince. Okay, James, so you're not a junior, but, you know, you're not a senior. You're the third, so that's cool, too. We're going to accept that. We're going to talk football today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk NFL draft. I'm kind of mad at the NFL. Well, you know, I'm always mad about something. But
I know without going, delay. Kevin. I already know where you're going, man.
Yeah.
I already know where you're going.
We're
going
to let James introduce himself since he's our guest today. And then, as you know, we play a full game here, full quarters. James, welcome. Go ahead and introduce yourself and then let's roll.
Well, happy to join you guys. I'm James Verrett. I'm from the great state of Louisiana. I've been a play-by-play announcer for over 20 years, been in the media business going on 30 years. I've covered and called games for the SIAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, called events for the Gulf South Conference, and done high school, you name it. I've done the ACC, the SEC. So I've been a little bit around for a little while.
Yeah, a little while. James is in it. It's like veteran. James is one of the veterans.
He's in it. That's so right.
Put some respect on his name when you mention James.
That's
Yo,
all right.
Fellas. And Keith said he already knows where I'm going. So I'll try to dial it back a little bit. But no, NFL draft. We're a week out. So I figured, why not when we come back with our show? It's been 2 weeks. You guys had some time off. We come back with the show. Let's talk about this NFL draft. I mean, you had time for it to sink in. You got to look at it. I'm already mad, but
I'm definitely curious, man.
It's all good. I'm gonna let you all open it up and talk about it a little bit. Keith, I'm gonna start with you, man, because I know you're biting at the bit to talk about this draft.
Yes.
Now, mind you, you know, I'm focusing on what did and didn't happen as far as HBCUs are concerned. So, and I put the challenge out to you gentlemen to check that out as well, so we could discuss that today. With it being Saturday morning, of course, you know we're broadcasting Saturday morning, every Saturday, every Media Today Talk Sports. All right, Keith, I'm gonna let you talk about it first, man, before I even go there.
Hey, Chad, man, first of all, I want to talk about what you're mad at, and I know what it is, man. It was only 4 HBCU players took, and I felt some type of way about that, too. Because I thought somebody like a safety like Marquise Bell and a quarterback like Akil Glass, I thought they were that talented. I mean, for what that saying, though, the guy Houston, he did go to Detroit, but they didn't post his highlights. They posted his Florida highlights, which I thought was a shot at Jackson State. And Deion, he posted that. But if Detroit unleashing, man, he could be a heck of a pass rusher, man. But as far as the Steelers go, I think Kenny Pickett is the answer. I really want Malik Willis, but I thought the Steelers had a solid draft. I gave him a B-. But I think Sauce Gardner is going to be Rookie of the Year, man. I think he's going to be Rookie of the Year, and I think Scott Moore is going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I thought the Steelers should have took him, but I like the George Pickens pick. You know, he's a little feisty. I just hope he's not the next Fred Gibson or Martavius Bryant. I hope he's more A.J. Green, Carl Pickens, who I compare you to. You know what I'm saying?
But
as far as the division in the draft, though, I just want to say one more thing. As far as the division, I thought that we were second. I thought Baltimore nailed it. I thought they had an excellent draft. They could have got another wide receiver, but I thought they slightly after the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I think were second in the AFC North as far as draft rankings go. But you guys can elaborate on that.
Yeah, we will. And see, you froze for a second. You know why you froze? You started making this a Homer show again. You started talking about the Steelers. Anytime you say we, I know you're talking about the Steelers. And it's like, yo, so if I had a button to freeze you every time you said it, I would have pushed the button right then and there. All right, so now that's good stuff.
I thought you did.
Nah, man, right? I don't have that power. But, James, since you're our guest, we're going to come to you next. Just talk about what you saw a little bit, because we'll get into it in detail in a second. But just overall, in general, how you felt about it, what you saw that caught your attention.
Well, I take how best way I could put it. I think that the NFL did a good job on recognizing players from the HBCUs. I don't think that the four players that were taken was a small number. The reason being, as a child, I remember seeing Jerry Rice torch Southern University. I was on the sideline physically watching that. I was physically on the sideline watching Aeneas Williams shut down an entire half of the field. I physically was on the sideline watching Steve McNair as a freshman get knocked out of a game, come back in the game with a swollen ankle, and single-handedly defeat Grambling. Okay? So when people say, well, they got players who should have been drafted and things of that nature, number one, when you're coming from a smaller school, you have to be the best, a very elite athlete. I had the pleasure of working for a number of years with Tyrone Poole, the last Division II player to go in the first round. And he was head and shoulders above everyone else when it came to all of the physical attributes that it took in order to make it to the NFL. So I think that when people are starting to say, well, they slighted certain people and things of that nature, remember, this is a business, and there are thousands of young people who are running 40s, doing shuttle runs, doing 225 to try to catch the eye of a scout. Now, if they can draft a guy as or sign him as a free agent, even though they know he has a strong possibility to make the team, as a business person, hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, do I think Jerry Rice should have went number one overall? Absolutely. Do I think that Aeneas Williams should have been a first-round draft pick? Absolutely. But, hey, they fail where they fail, and the rest is history.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you in a second because I differ, but it's okay because I can relate to the names that you dropped. So you dropped some gems too. I can think about Everson Walls. I can think about, you know, Doug Williams back in the day. Shaq Harris. I didn't see Shaq at Grambling, but I did see Shaq playing for the Los Angeles Rams, which took me back. That's another story, another day. Go ahead, Keith. What you got? You got something you were going to say.
I remember you guys were talking about Jacquez Ezard. He got an undrafted free agent contract with the Washington Redskins, man. I think he can make the squad. I just wanted to say
that. But it's the Commanders now, not the Redskins. Yes. So you got to be careful. Right? Yeah, so, you know.
I forget that fan.
Yeah, story about him, too. But, all right, before I talk, because you know I can talk a lot. But, Vince, we're going to come to you, man. What you got? What impressed you? What'd you see? You know, how'd you feel? Go ahead.
So I agree with James. I think that, you know, the four players picked, I think I was about right. You when you come from a smaller school, no matter what your pedigree is, yeah, you do have to be head and shoulders above others. I think it's on par with previous years. I do think there are some hidden gems. I do think there's some guys like Marquise Bell from FAMU going to the Cowboys. I think that, you know, he could be an impact player for them in a couple years. Once he gets more refinement, I think he could be a perfect fit for the Cowboys and what they do on the back end. There's some other guys that I think are in pretty good positions. I like John May Martin and going to the Colts, going to their mini camp. I think he can be a pretty good player for them. Shamar Bridges, I like going to the Ravens. I like it. I like his height. I like big receivers. And while there's a receiver, wasn't that tall. He's a shorter receiver. Although he's speedy and everything, twitchy and all that. You know, I think there's a certain niche for those types of players. But there's some players like Corey Raman out of Tennessee State who will be in the Dolphins minicamp. I think he's a guy that's going to turn some heads. And, you know, he had a nice productive career, ball hawk kind of a guy. I think, you know, those guys can really go into camp and make a name for themselves. And so as much as we want to hear HBCU players drafted, going the undrafted free agent route, It's not a bad thing. I mean, some of these guys have already inked contracts, and you get a 3-4 year contract, and you can really cash in a few years, get some development, You can go, you can choose and, you know, pick and choose where you want to go. So unlike those who are getting drafted, you have an opportunity to, you know, check out, you know, what the depth chart is like, what the coaching staff is like, and see, is that a good fit for me? So I'm not caught up in only four drafted players from HBCUs going this year. And I like the names that are going into minicamp in this offseason.
All right, we'll come back to you in a second too, but all right, we'll get you in there real quick. Cliff, what did you see? What caught your attention?
I like the Chiefs draft pick, Joshua Williams from Fayetteville State, over 135th pick overall. You know, he had 15 pass breakups, a couple interceptions. But what I like about him is his height. He's 6'3", a little bit underweight. I'd like to see him get up a little bit to like 200, 205. He's 197. But he ran the 4.4. His numbers were good. His combine numbers were good. Everything was good for him. He was an interesting fact about him. He's a burner. He was in high school, he ran the hurdles, 110 meter hurdles. So, and then he also did the, he ran 100 meters in 10.6, you know, in high school. So he does have a little, he's athletic. He's wide receiver built. He converted from wide receiver. And that is, it seems to be what they're looking for at NFL nowadays, is that person that can run the routes with them. And then I also like the Rams pick right after that, 142nd, Durant, Discobe Durant from South Carolina State. I really like that. He's a little bit, you know, vertically challenged at 5'11". However, I was reading everything I could on this guy right here, because he's a dog. Mm-hmm. He is definitely a dog. They got a good one in Los Angeles there. And the one thing that stood out to me is whenever they played Clemson, he had two picks.
Yeah.
So that means that he can play with elite wide receivers. He could definitely cover the elite wide receivers. And then the one thing that, you know, I did not like, as unpopular with my Steelers, I didn't like the Kenny Pickett pick. I did not like it. I think it was just a homer pick. I think that Ryder from Cincinnati was better than Pickett. And you guys could boo me, write me a letter, I don't care. But it is what it is. I didn't like the pick with Pickett. It's, to me, he wasn't the greatest, because he played, what, 6 years? He's playing against players that only play 4 years, minimum 5 years, but dadgum, he has 6 years, almost 7 years to do it. He could be a doctor right now.
I see. I'm going to be on the opposite with everybody up in here, because I even got a challenge with you right now. But we play a full game here. We play four quarters. Time goes that fast. That's the end of the first quarter, just that quickly. So I cut Cliff off. I know he wasn't finished, but he said he's picking it out. Anyway, we'll get to it in a second. Ray, me and you up after this. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We got James Red joining us, Red Porter Jr., Cliff McAfee Jr., Keith Platt Jr., and Vince Butts. We'll be right back after this timeout.
STD cases are on the rise here in Allegheny County, and it's time to get tested. April 29th from 6 to 9 p.m., the Allegheny County Health Department will be on site at the Pitcairn Night Market on Broadway to promote free testing and more. If you're in the area, you should stop by. Bring the family. Stop the spread. Get tested today. Call 412-578-8081 or stop by 1908 Wiley Avenue in the Hill District. Let's work together to stop the spread of STDs in our communities. Call 412-578-8081 today.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports. James Rett's our guest this weekend. We got Ray Porter Jr., Cliff McAfee Jr., Keith Platt Jr., and Vince Butts, who's not a junior. And Cliff was talking about he was making a Homer Get Homer show too. Him and Keith, man, you got to watch them. The minute they get to talk about the Steelers, we got Ray next, though, don't we? But anyway, the minute he talks about the Steelers, it just goes that way. So, Cliff, thank you for your thoughts. Ray, I'm going to come to you and let you comment on what you saw, and then we're going to keep it moving. Go ahead.
Okay, what I saw was
the NFL draft, of course. Go ahead.
Definitely. I wanted to give kudos to the University of Georgia, the national champion, Georgia Bulldogs, who had an NFL record 15 players drafted, and which honestly, of course, includes the first round overall pick, Trayvon Walker, who's an edge rusher. And also the defensive tackle that got drafted by Philly, Jordan Davis. And then, of course, the one that was drafted by Pittsburgh, the receiver, George Pickens. And it's just nice to see. I mean, it just goes to show the talent that's with that school, and see what they're going to do to replace all 15 of those players. And I'm sure that's what the coach's job is for. But I thought it was good. It was a good draft. It was just a weird draft because we know all of us on here knew what they were saying, that the quarterback draft class wasn't as good. And that 2023 obviously is going to be a better draft. But I would have never imagined they would go that long without a quarterback being picked. And then the team that picks him is the Steelers with Kenny Pickett. Now, for me, it was easy to think that they were going to pick Malik Willis because of all the talk. I don't care too much about hype, but because of all the talk. But for them, something in the back of my head said they may choose Pickett because of his pro-style offense that he played in. I kept saying that in the back of my head. And for them to make that pick, it did kind of surprise me. But, you know, myself and Vince have seen Pickett up close. And Keith as well have seen Pickett up close. And you have too, Trevor. You went to the game, which he upset Miami years ago. Mm-hmm. And still didn't steal the turnover chain, but okay. But next time, make sure you do it. But the thing about it is to see somebody just make that improvement because he chose to come back, and you don't throw for 42 touchdowns by accident, and you don't pass for over 44,000 yards. So something got good. I saw confidence in that kid. So I have a good feeling about him being picked. I still think Trubisky should be the starter, but they're going to duke it out. But I thought it was pretty cool. So, but the surprise for the draft for me, and I'm not saying this negatively, I mean, I have great respect for Jamison Williams, a receiver from Alabama, which is sports. But I also remember when that young man hurt in the national championship game. Naturally, that was a concern. You know, I thought that it was just a different type of draft, but it was a good one, though.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I disagree with you, Cliff, because I like Kenny Pickett, and I told Keith, and I told Vince, and I told Ray way back in Kenny Pickett's freshman year that that boy is somebody that's going to be special. And then in his sophomore year, when he got injured his sophomore or his junior year, and then everybody in Pittsburgh kind of like, oh, Kenny Pickett's not this. Keith was one of those people. And I was like, yo, that boy was bad in his freshman year. And he came back, and then he came back after the injury, and he proved that he was good enough to either get some looks and even get drafted by an NFL squad. So I'll pat myself on the back on that one. So I do disagree with you, Cliff. I think that was a good pick. He's home. He's in Pittsburgh. He's familiar with the territory. He's familiar with the program, believe it or not. He's familiar with the surroundings. So he's comfortable coming in. All he has to do is be able to, you know, that to like, I guess, to engulfs that that playbook and be able to fit the system. But I think he's a safe pick. No, I don't think he's starting. I don't see that.
I still think it's going to be Trubisky.
Look,
he's better at Trubisky, which Trubisky's weakness is, which is being a pocket passer. He's a way better pocket passer at this point in his career than Mitchell Trubisky is, and I guarantee you he start week one. Remember I said it.
You say he's starting.
I don't care who's back there. Right. Your offensive line can't block you and can't block you.
They made improvements.
Yeah, but we're over that. That's enough about the Steelers. Enough about the Steelers right now, man. I ain't talking about the Steelers.
Come on,
we ain't talking about the Steelers. We're talking about the
Steelers. A lot of retreads.
Hey, you know what? I have one question, though. I got one question.
No, I just got 1,100 clip behind that line, bro.
1,200, but it's okay. But I hear what you're saying, though, Keith. I hear what you're saying. But what do y'all think about the other quarterbacks that got picked? I mean, who would have thought them?
Let me finish. I let you finish. Let me finish.
Well, I did ask a question, though. I asked a question. You said go ahead. So I'm just saying.
Let me finish. I didn't know you were going to go into detail like that. Let me finish. Okay, Mr. Barrett, I am totally on the opposite side of what you said. I don't think the numbers were enough. Only reason I say that, James, is because, and you follow HBCU football closely as well, the four players that were picked, actually, there was five. But everybody keeps forgetting about this other player, and I'm going to bring him up in a second. But with Joshua Williams, James, you know Joshua was on point. He was doing his thing. Kobe Durant doing his thing. No question there. Mr. James Houston was the big name that everybody was kind of paying attention to.
Baller.
I think that Coach Prime pointed that out with them showing just the Florida highlights as opposed to Jackson State and his experience there. I mean, I get that. And then you had Jatari Carter. Now, James, you're there. So you already know that Southern offensive line was supposed to be one of the best because those are some big dudes who were very athletic and could actually provide protection. Right. So to see him get selected, I'm not upset with that. I don't like the fact that in the NFL draft, there's only been 22 HBCU players selected in 10 years.
The reason why that is because if you remember in the late 70s and the early 80s, the only league that was throwing the ball close to anything like the Chargers or any wide open pass offense was the Southwestern Athletic Conference.
The only people who had
complete man-to-man lockdown corners were in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. So the reason why we haven't had that many players drafted is because the Southeastern Conference, the ACC, the Big 12, everybody else changed their offenses. They went away from pro style. They went to a wide open. They looked for lockdown corners, taller corners. So then when you're looking at it, if a kid has an opportunity to go to Florida A&M or Miami, just off of sheer financial situation, they're going to choose Miami. Okay, and that's no knock against them. Now, where our schools may have dropped the ball is when you look at players from way back, like Buck Buchanan, Eddie Robinson went to the National Football League and asked them, what do my players need to do in order to be drafted? And he helped them become that type of athlete. He helped them finish and become that type of refined player that those owners were willing to sign. So I think that's where we're dropping the ball. We have players who have the raw talent, but are we doing enough talent development at every school?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say every school, but I do agree with some of what you said there. But I just had to point out to you, I'm totally on the opposite there. I think 22 players in 10 years is not enough, but I understand your explanation and I don't have a problem with that. There's a player that everybody is I don't know what it is, they're passing over it, forgetting, I don't know. But I got to call games for this young man in his freshman year and his sophomore year. The only school that gave him a scholarship was Howard University. He then transferred from Howard to Cincinnati. He got picked in the second round by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm talking about B. Cook, Brian Cook. Brian Cook balled out at Howard, and he balled out in Cincinnati. He played tough against Alabama. He played tough in the playoffs. Like, I was like, yo, Brian Cook is the man. And he is one of those, James, one of those players who actually, he didn't get a look. Like, he didn't get any scholarships, just got the one from Howard. Went through the process, had to sit out a year because when he transferred from Howard to Cincinnati, they didn't let him play. They didn't give him eligibility that year, but he suited up the next year. Played in a bowl game, was very impressive in a bowl game. And then, of course, last season, you saw that. I have to point out, and I'm going to claim Brian Cook as an HBCU product being drafted in the NFL draft in the second round. And he's going to the Kansas City Chiefs as a safety. The Chiefs then turned around and picked up Joshua Williams in the fourth round. Secondary again. So there was actually five, as far as Tremaine Jones is concerned, there was five HBCU players drafted in the NFL draft. And Brian Cook from Howard University / Cincinnati was the first one actually selected, if you want to be technical about it, in this season's NFL draft. Now, I don't know if any of you noticed that, James. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's getting under my skin.
I did, but here's the thing. What school does he claim? That's going to be the key. What school does he go?
Now, he's from Cincinnati.
Now, was his Howard experience like many Howard people where they live and die Bison love, or is he the kind of guy like, I was in D.C.?
This is interesting. I was in D.C. I'll say this is interesting because we're a nationally broadcasted podcast, I'm not going to bring out names or talk about incidents, but I believe Brian Cook had a glorious Howard experience his first 2 years. Then there was a change in the coach. And I think when that change in the coach happened and the change in the system, a lot of people were not happy. I believe he was one of those people that weren't happy, and he decided to sit out and transfer. So as a result of that change and you know, the stumble that the Bison had at that one particular season. But I think that if there hadn't been a coaching change, I think Brian Cook would have finished his career at Howard University, to be honest with you. Okay. I truly believe that. Yep.
So do you think that with the transfer portal and now much more fluidity with athletes, if an HBCU player has an outstanding freshman or sophomore year, that they would go the route the opposite? Because we see a lot of players at HBCUs who are having success have transferred from Power Five schools, from big time programs, and you know, to HBCUs. So do you think that there's a chance that we'll start to see more players? And I guess it's something to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on current HBCU players and watch their careers to see if they then flip to Power Five conferences, Division One, A programs, and see. I know that they would then claim those schools that they left, the most recent school they left. But to me, it's something to keep an eye on with a transfer portal, allowing so many players to not have to sit that 1 year and play right away.
Hey, Vince, guess what? Yeah. Can I say something real quick? Mm-hmm. Hey, Vince, guess what? Mm-hmm. You just said that, but Florida A&M had the leading sack leader in FCS, and he just transferred to LSU about 20 hours ago.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised. I think that the transfer portal, and that's a great point, Keith, the transfer portal is going to open it up both ways. But you got to be careful, because what's not being said is there are hundreds, if not thousands, of athletes that are sitting in a transfer portal that nothing happened. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go back to the school that they were trying to transfer from? You know, so that is a whole show by itself. And that's an interesting thing that you just said there, Vince, and I appreciate that. Michael Jefferson's joining the show too. And Michael, we're talking about the NFL draft. We're talking about HBCUs, of course, and HBCU players. James Rhett and I already got into it, Michael, so you missed that, because James is on one side, I'm on the other. No, we really didn't get into it, but he has some valid points and some great points. Real quick, Michael, what did you see in the draft that caught your attention? And if you don't mind speaking about it quickly before we go to break.
Well, I tell you what, the one thing that really caught my attention about the NFL draft is that we finally have four athletes that were finally drafted from an HBCU. But the one thing about it is that we still have so many great athletes that are out there that were not drafted, that just didn't make it. And, I mean, look at Akil Glass. Did he get drafted by anyone? I mean, you're talking about one of the best quarterbacks we've ever had in HBCU. During our time, but yet and still, did he get drafted? But this year, everyone was saying how weak the quarterback selection was for the entire draft period. And my question is, was that really true? I mean, think about some of the things that Akil did this year, but yet and still, this was a weak quarterback draft. And I truly challenged them, because of what Glass did this year as opposed to what some of the other guys did. I mean, this guy was just an extraordinary passer in everything that he did. But the one thing I can say on the other side is finally we did have guys that were chosen, as opposed to a couple of years ago, we only had one.
Great point. And yeah, Kill's going to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I'm loving that one. Michael, you don't know I'm a Tampa Bay Bucs fan, but I am a Tampa Bay Bucs fan. He did get invited to the mini camp. So say it again.
Is he going to stick? Is he going to beat out the
Kill? He's going to stick. He'll stick.
Because it's going to be Brady, Blaine, Gabbert, and he got to beat out that other guy. I forgot his name.
Who did you say? After Brady, who did you say?
Blaine Gabbert. Somebody got to be the backup, Travis. Who? I don't care what you say. Somebody got to be the backup.
Akil, if Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm a Tampa Bay fan. Remember, I'm a fan since you drafted Leroy Selman, number one pick in your draft back in the day. If you're listening, Akil Glass. Okay. He can be a backup. You don't have to start, but just Akil Glass. It's Urban Media Today Sports. We're going to take a quick timeout. The game goes that fast. We play four quarters here. We've already ended up the first half. We have James Verrett, a special guest. Michael Jefferson, a special guest. Ray Porter Jr., you know him. Cliff McAfee Jr. We got Keith Flat Jr. and my man Vince Butts. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Stop by Hope Fish and Chicken for the best seafood platters around and enjoy it for lunch, dinner, or a late night snack. Open every day, even holidays, and ready to take your catering orders for your next family gathering. Find us online at hopefishandchicken.com. Stop by our locations in Homewood, Waterfront, Mount Oliver, Northside, and North Versailles.
It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Michael Jefferson, James Verrett, special guest this weekend. Members of the HBCU Pro Sports Media Association, by the way. So is Cliff McAfee Jr., so is Vince Butts, and yours truly. We also have Keith Flat Jr. and Ray Porter Jr. Michael, I think I cut you off when we went to break. We're talking about the HBCU players, prospects. We're talking about the NFL draft. I get excited, so you know, you got to pull my coattails sometimes. But did I let you finish your thought, sir? That's what I want to know.
Michael. Oh, no, Doc. I was finished.
Oh, you were finished.
Yeah, because it's just looking at what's happening this year, and also a lot of people are actually giving a lot of credit to what Coach Prime has actually brought to HBCU. And they're actually giving him a lot of credit because he's finally saying what a lot of us have been saying in the background, but we've just not had the platform to actually get it stated. And we have not had the platform for a lot of us to be heard. And so he came out and just said, look, damn it, there are a lot of great athletes that are in that are playing for HBCU schools. But the question is, why aren't you guys watching them? Why aren't you guys looking at them? Why aren't you guys drafting them? And so now, since we have a larger mouthpiece, now we're in a position to finally say, okay, let's go to Alabama State. Let's go to Howard. Let's go to Hampton. Let's go to Jackson State. Let's go to Southern. Let's go to Florida A&M. And once we get these players seen, once we get them noticed, now all of a sudden, yes. Are we just getting these players? No, they've always been here. They've always been able to play. They've just never had the platform for anyone to have to take a look at. But now with the mouthpiece, he just happens to be at Jackson State. But now these guys are finally getting seen, and they are finally going to get noticed. And yes, it's more than James Hudson from Jackson State. It's more than Akil Glass. It's more than the other two guys that were drafted. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of other guys that's out there. So that's where I am.
No doubt. And Ray Porter Jr., I'm going to come back to you in a second. Keith, you mentioned it. Jaquez Ezard. Let me tell you, I also got to call games with Jaquez Ezard at Howard University before he transferred to Sam Houston State. Jaquez Ezard is a game changer. Do not sleep on Jaquez Ezard. Don't look at his height. I can't compare him to Tyreek Hill at this point. I can't put him there. But I can say that the potential. Who's the comparison?
I got a perfect comparison. And this guy, let me see where you at, Ray Porter. This guy played with Tim Couch at Kentucky. He was a draft pick of the Cincinnati Bengals. His name was Craig Yeast. He's about 5'8", 180. He was a special teamer. He was real fast. He didn't really have an outstanding career, but when I see Jaquez Ezard, that's what reminds me of.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a good segue. Ray, I cut you off. Go ahead.
It's okay. And I understand the direction y'all were going. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, Michael, in reference to the quarterback class. I had said that said just how everybody had viewed the quarterback draft class as what it wasn't, which is the reason why the first one was picked by number 20 in the Steelers. But, you know, anybody, just to get anybody's opinion, what did you think about Malik Willis not getting picked to the third round? Were you surprised?
Really not to say it?
Uh-huh. No, but I understand. I definitely do. But I think it did surprise me for him to go all the way to three, especially since he was so highly regarded, you know, in the offseason as far as the draft prospects and mock drafts as well.
But you know what, Ray? I'll comment on that a little bit. You bring up Malik Willis. Well, I'm leaning more towards James and Michael because they this is what they do. And I know you guys watch HBCU football as well. But when you look at Akil, like Michael said, Akil is like he could do everything for you. He's heady because he had the great coach that was with him. So he's heady, got coached by a quarterback who was a coach. I mean, a coach who was a quarterback, even at North Carolina A&T, if I may say. So he got good training. He was a good student that you could see it on the field. He was like a coach on the field. And I'm not trying to, just make this about Akil, but when you look at Akil, we watched him for the past 2 years, maybe three, but you watch him develop and become that quarterback that can get you some wins. He can get you. He's not just a game manager. He can make some things happen. Am I right, gentlemen? Am I wrong?
I got the perfect NFL comp for him.
What?
Who? Jacoby Brissett. Sam Lyon. Jacoby Brissett. Akil Glass.
Let me bring this up. Think about the spring championship game, the SWAC championship game between Alabama A&M and UAPB. That was the touchdown pass that Akil Glass threw through a window that you could only have thrown a BB through. And we caught this via film. My daughter was filming on the other side, just catching some footage. Akil threw this pass where the cornerback for UAPB was just draped all over the guy. And he caught it. But Akil had to throw that ball through this window. And he threw it where only he could catch it. And what else can you say? And that's why when they said a weak quarterback draft, but you still have Akil.
I agree.
Warm talent is there.
The thing that I think that may have hurt Akil was the fact that he had a spectacular spring but had a lackluster fall. He did have some injury issues, and when you are coming from an FCS program, you have to show some level of superhuman aspects of your game, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to either be freakish physically or be extremely tough, and whereas he is a very good passer, a very good cerebral quarterback, they feel they can find those a dime a dozen. But when you have that toughness like we saw with Steve McNair, when you have that arm strength that we saw with Doug Williams, those are things that they're like, wow, I can't coach that. I don't know where he got that from. And I think with Akil, a lot of his attributes are things that they felt we can find that in other people. To his advantage, he's going to a good place in Tampa Bay with a new coach. The old coach will be there in the shadows. But the key is they're not asking him to come in and, be the star. They just need him to be there and show the ability to develop. If he can do that, I think he'll have an opportunity to stay. Because remember, I think they're still under the COVID roster expansion. So he may have a chance to stick around.
Let's just hope they don't use him as just a camp or man. I'll be very devastated because I think
I wouldn't be devastated.
I want to see him in the NFL and not the CFL or the USFL because I think he's that gifted.
Well, hey, he may have to go that route. He may have to go.
I feel you.
Yeah, I don't think it's such a bad thing.
Right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would rather go that route than not go any route.
Right. I agree there. Speaking about routes, let me ask you guys this because, James, you made this reference to Alcorn State a couple of times and Steve McNair. What about Felix Harper, man? I mean, Felix Harper wasn't drafted, and he got invited to the Cleveland Browns, I think. So, I mean, it was interesting to see. As you gentlemen know, there were plenty of quarterbacks at HBCU schools that, you know, didn't get a look or didn't get mentioned. So I'm interested to see where they're going to pop up in the undrafted free agency or invites to mini camps. I still can't get over Jamaine Martin getting invited to a mini camp.
What did I miss? I like that.
Bruh, did you see Jamaine Martin play? At A&T before they transferred over to the Big South.
But let's remember,
he had a drop off though too.
Derrick Henry, running backs are a dime a dozen. Nobody's given a running back the ball 30 times except for Derrick Henry. So any other player
after that explosive year 2 years ago, he dropped off a little bit. But I would have still took him though. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to put the draft money in a position that I'm only going to use 15 to 20 times a game. If he's good enough to make the team, so be it. But am I going to give him guaranteed money? And I mean, I think that those people who are HBCU lifers, you have to remember now, once you get dumped in with everybody else, it becomes a financial issue. And financially, how much are you going to invest in a person that you're not going to use that often?
I will say this much. I have to agree with you, but even though you have the Kansas Cities of the world, but if you look at when they finally get to the playoffs, what wins the championship? You got to have a running game. You got to have a running game. If you don't have a running game, then yes. I mean, look at what Arizona was able to do. They were able to throw the ball all over the field. But in the end, when it comes to the playoffs, I mean, look at what's happening in basketball today. If you can't play defense, if you can't run the ball in terms of football, then you find yourself in a real world of hurt. Because if you go back and if you look at the history of football, a good defense has always beaten a great offense, except when Jerry Rice played.
Wow. Stretch out the field.
Wow.
Okay, I got you.
Year in the Giants when they made him fumble in that NFC title game, and what was that, 89? They beat him then. He fumbled.
And when Tampa Bay beat him when he was with the Raiders.
Yeah. Now, that was when he was old, so I don't
think he's still. Nah. He's still getting 1,000 yards, though. Tim Brown, but they're still doing it, though.
No problem. I will always bow to the greatness of any athlete coming out of the HBCU and making an impression on the world. So I'll let you have that. No problem there. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm going to get back to this in a second. And Michael, I think you missed it. But James, he had a great rebuttal for what I said. I'm upset because I went back 10 years. In 10 years in the NFL draft, only 22 HBCU players have been drafted in 10 years, in the past 10 years. The most at any time has been 4. And that was in 2019, most recently, when they had 4 players taken. So I didn't have a problem with that. As you're talking about Tytus Howard, Darryl Johnson, Quentin Bell, and Joshua Miles from Morgan State guard. Of course, my man Quentin Bell was my favorite because he went to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, eventually he was with Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm loving that. But I bring that up to say, I mean, like I said, James had a great answer to that. And James, I'll let you repeat that in a second. But how do you gentlemen feel when you look at it? Look at all these players that are drafted. You're going 7 rounds, over 200 picks in each draft. And you only have 22 HBCU players in 10 years. I mean, I'm not getting it.
I just think it's crazy, man. I don't understand how a guy like Will Adams was the HBCU combine jewel. Like, he tore the combine up for the HBCUs, and he don't get drafted. He got good size as a corner, safety, and it's just I don't get it, man. It's just crazy, man. It's crazy.
I think in 2021, there wasn't one. There wasn't one HBCU player.
That COVID year, only Lechavius Simmons got picked by the Chicago Bears. He was a lineman. I think out of Tennessee.
That was in 2020.
That's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
He wasn't the only one. Yep.
And then he didn't go until the 7th round. I'll get these dudes on the map.
Okay. Now, and the only reason I bring that up is because, I mean, I'm thinking of it, and some of you might know, some of you might not know. There was a young brother who was just – Terrence, and we were talking about passing, Michael. You're talking about passing and how people are airing it out. Amir Showtime Hall was airing it out at Boise State. Now he's kind of gone. Like nobody's even like mentioned his name, but that was like, wait a minute, 2 or 3 years ago. And he did it for 2 years. And he actually was the Urban Media Today player of the year on the CAJ Talented 10 Black College All-American team. He was voted player of the year twice, back-to-back times. He didn't get drafted. I don't know if he got any looks or anything like that. So that kind of blows me away when you get players of that caliber. You all think on that. We're going to come right back. That's the end of the third quarter. We'll be right back. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Treats and Beans redefines the concept of waffles and crepes from breakfast side dish to a main dish that can be served or delivered any time of the day. On a day like today, why not treat yourself to this deliciousness at Treats and Beans, located in Oakland, 118 Myron Avenue. For mouth-watering recipes that will blow your mind, waffles, crepes, and coffee, oh my, it's got to be Treats and Beans.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports. We're talking the NFL draft, talking HBCUs. Got Cliff McAfee Jr., Ray Porter Jr., Keith Platt Jr., my man Vince Butts. Then we have special guest James Verrett and Michael Jefferson. And Michael, I think I cut you off. Go ahead.
Now, what I was about to say, I was listening to the NFL draft. The one thing I remember them talking about were people from NAIA or Division II or Division III football. And they were talking about some of the players that were not drafted who were considered, quote unquote, very good players. And they spoke about some of the quarterbacks that were considered pretty good. And they were saying, well, the only reason why they're still on the board is because they only have to do 4 or 5 plays, and they run those 4 or 5 plays very well. And past those 4 or 5 plays that they run very well, hence the reason why a lot of these coaches have passed them by. Now, it's not saying that HBCU schools are doing the exact same thing, but this was one of the knocks that they had against, and he was not and I apologize, guys, I don't remember who the guy was. He was not an African-American quarterback, but he happened to have been a Caucasian quarterback. And I apologize, I don't remember the school. But
Baylen Zip and Zappy. he went to an NAI school and then went to Western Kentucky and put up numbers. So kind of sound a little similar.
It might be, but right now, and I apologize, guys, I don't remember the player because I was catching bits and pieces of this particular player because I was really waiting on a kill and some of the other guys to get drafted from HBCUs. But when they brought it up and based upon our conversation, that reminded me of that conversation. And this could be another one of the knocks that we have in HBCU kingdom, is that even though I know it's not true, you know it's not true, because we see a lot of great players that will come through. Some of the knocks that we have heard, that at least I've heard, is that our coaches, they're unable to make adjustments during the game. So our players are unable to make the adjustments during the game while they're playing. And during the middle of the game, what do? They do the exact same thing without understanding how to make an adjustment on offense or even defense. Hence the reason why we end up losing those games.
Interesting.
I think that's going to change, though, with all the former NFL players going to, like, Tennessee State and Hugh Jackson coaching down at Grambling State now.
But be careful, Cliff, because that's an offensive comment to me. And the reason I'm going to say it that way, let me finish. The reason I'm going to say that is because you got, and I made reference to him earlier, Connell Maynard, who was Akil's coach.
Yeah.
Was a great coach at North Carolina A&T. A great quarterback at North Carolina A&T. Did he play professional ball?
I think just arena ball.
He played arena ball. Okay.
It was still professional.
Yes, still professional. So yes. You do have these coaches before Prime and before anybody, Eddie George or anybody else coming in. You had these coaches that had that experience before them. Coach Buddy Pough, oh, my goodness. I'll put Coach Pough up against any coach in America without question. And even with Coach Pough, he has a lot of players that have been drafted. Darius Leonard, Coach Pough. Okay, and then he has was Joe Thomas, linebacker, Hargrave. Coach Pough, Coach Pough. So it's like, and Dakobe, Coach Pugh. I mean, so yeah, you have a coach, but all those cats that I just mentioned, the defense, so I get it. But before I would even go out there and say that things could change because you have these professional coaches coming in, and I'll go out on a limb and say these coaches that are coming in, even Coach Prime, they got stuff that they're learning from these coaches on the that have been in HBCU experience. Go ahead.
Look at what he did to Jackson State University in the Celebration Bowl. He, and I forgive me now, guys, for saying this, he kicked their ass. I'm a Jackson State grad. I went to J-State.
Wow, that's what's up.
He kicked their butts the entire game. From the time they walked out on the field until the last play, they kicked their butts. They were the players, their attitude, everything about how they were playing. Jackson State was not prepared for that. And I'll be the first to say it. I was there from jump to the end. I thought Jackson State was going to do the exact same thing they did to Southern University when they came back, because Southern had jumped off into them. And they came back. They did the Jackson State thing. Everything. Everyone was thinking the same thing. But what did Coach Pugh do? He disrespected Jackson State. Went on a 4th and 19 and got 21 yards. Really? Think about it. Against a vaunted defense. So I have to agree with you. I must agree with you on that. Our coaches are good, but they are getting disrespected as well.
Had to say that. So Cliff, not to put you down, I wasn't putting you out there or anything like that, but before you make a statement like that, I mean, anybody that's following HBCU football, who has been able to rub elbows with the coaches, and seeing them up close and then see how they, like Michael said, the knock was not being able to do adjustments or not being able to change. But as he, a perfect example, right. Coach Pugh changed everything.
And that's what I was saying there is because the players, because Michael said the players, that the comment was made on national TV that the players were only able to call 4 plays. And that was it. That was my comment where I was going with this, that they could change that perception is going to change with these coaches that, these players now they could go ahead. They could call more than 4 plays. And it's going to open up more of an eye opener than it is with the narrative that they're trying to make now on national TV and basically dragging these kids through the mud, saying that they're not basically me. That's more of an insult than anything, saying that they are only able to call more than 4 plays. That's more than nerve. And that's where I was saying where Hugh Jackson and Eddie George, they're going to be able to go ahead. Not saying that the coaches before them aren't good or weren't able to coach more than the 4 plays, as they said during the draft, because I heard that as well. That is more of a punch in the face, in my opinion, than me saying the coaches that are coming in now are changing that narrative that say, hey, look, our kids are smart, because quarterback is the smartest position on the field. Right. That and linebacker. And for you to say that about a quarterback that, he can only do a run read option, that's a slap in the face to him and the coaches and to everybody that came, the Mel Blunts, that everybody that came from HBCU that had played in the league. That right there is the slap in the face. And these kids are trying to get a chance at every kid in America's dream that played the game of football to make it to the league. And you're going to say that if I had a son, you're going to say my son is only good enough to call 4 plays because he went to a HBCU on national TV? Yeah. Good right. Stuff. That's a slap in the face.
Good point. Well, Mr. McAfee, I will say this, and I most likely am dating myself and things of that nature. There is some validity to that. And the best example is not a football player that you guys know, but he's actually a basketball player, and his name is Bob Love. No, Bob Love, he became an international star in basketball simply because A.W. Mumford recruited him as a quarterback. He did not know that he had a stuttering problem. He just saw film of him and was like, this kid is a great athlete. But when he got him on Southern's campus, he could not call a play. So Mumford said, you can't be my quarterback. Why don't you go and do something else? Play basketball. Try that. And that's how Bob Love became the Bob Love that we know today. So I understand, Mr. McAfee, where you're coming from, but even at the HBCU level, there are points of reckoning when you get exposed. There are high school coaches that are like, hey, man, do what you do. They're not even calling plays. You just do what you do. So when the recruiter comes in, they're like, well, hey, man, what kind of – we just let him have a ball. He does what he does. So there are coaches like that on the HBCU level who are playing to keep their jobs. And they know I got to win five games a year, these five specific games, and my job is safe. I'm not necessarily worried about developing a talent that can go to the next level. I remember very vividly, like it was yesterday, Jerry Rice threw a touchdown pass, ran a touchdown, caught a touchdown, all in the same game because Archie Cooley wanted to send a message that this was the best wide receiver in the nation. He didn't do that the first couple of years Jerry was there, but as the attention started to go towards him, that's when he started doing things to showcase that particular athlete. And I think that's where the HBCU schools have to go back to the future and begin to showcase our athletes that have those opportunities and have the capabilities to play on the next level.
And we do have the coaches to do that now. Even though we had them then, because when Cooley was there, you still had W.C. Gordon that was there. You still had a lot of other great coaches that were there. But I think now is if we can't showcase these athletes today, then we really have a hard. We're really going to have a hard time now.
Good stuff. Good stuff, gentlemen. This is the fourth quarter and the game's round. It's winding down quickly. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go into our two-minute offense, and James and Michael, I'm going to go around to the guys, the regulars, so that you can see, get a feel for what we're about to do. But we just simply go around the room and see what was impactful for you this week. It can be about the topic we're talking about today. It can be about something else. But, Cliff, we're going to start with you first. What you got, fam?
Well, let me go ahead. I want to send prayers out to the athlete that died at Southern at committed suicide.
Young lady.
Mental health is real. Don't hold that stuff in. Go talk to somebody. You know, that is a young life, a young woman that had promise, and somebody could have saved her. Somebody could have talked to her, opened up to her. And it stemmed from what her post said, her post said online about her grandfather. That was, wow. Her grandfather, if he was still alive, he would have been able to. So there had to have been somebody on that cheerleading team or a coach of the cheerleading team, athletic director, professor. Somebody has seen something in her that wasn't right. But we have to, as adults, as people, don't hold that stuff in. Just because everything might be going good doesn't mean you can't go to counseling. Counseling is not a bad thing. Go get it. Mental health is serious. We need to go ahead and take it serious in every community because it's just not right. We shouldn't have to use young people to suicide and something that could be treated.
Good stuff, man. No doubt. Our peace and prayers out to the Miller family. University of Southern lost a great talent in their cheerleader, Alana Miller. So good stuff, man. Appreciate that. All right, Keith Flat Jr., what you got, man?
I got two things, man. I'm gonna get right to it.
You always got two things. First of all, all right, go ahead. Just mess with you.
I want to talk about the NFL draft, man. I think Sauce Gardner is going to be the best defensive rookie. I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year. He reminds me of Antonio Cromartie and the Steelers. Calvin Austin, he's going to be one of the top five return specialists in the league, kick and punt returners. And one last thing, I'm going to switch gears. I wish I had a guy like PK Subban or Evander Kane to help me out with this. But if you've been watching hockey, man, this hockey playoffs is excellent. This Stanley Cup playoffs, man. And if you watched the Penguins play the other night, they had a magnificent triple overtime win. And they still got their big three of Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang, and Evgeny Malkin. And they might have found lightning in a bottle, man. So don't be surprised if these dudes get four. I don't think they can beat Tampa Bay, but I think the Pens might make a run. They might have found lightning in a bottle after that game, man. Go Pens.
If anybody ever doubts you on being a Pittsburgh person, just tell them, yo, call Trev. Trev will validate that I'm a Pittsburgher through and through, because every chance he gets, he brings up something from Pittsburgh. So it's all good, Keith. I got nothing but love for you, man. And you always got good stuff. Vince Butts, what you got, man?
As a basketball fan, part of me is really, really disappointed at these current NBA playoffs. I know I'm dating myself, but I'm an old school guy, and so I like how the NBA used to be. You know, you had a lot of movement. You drafted players, you developed players. You tried to win championships organically. You know, and nowadays, as I've watched the NBA now, you know, there's a couple of teams that's you know still play basketball well. You know, I love watching Golden State. You know, and all the movement that they have, all the screens that they set. And you know, it kind of, in watching it on the other side, watching you know teams like Philly with so much isolation with James Harden and Kyrie with Brooklyn. You know, these like I think it's misguided to think you could just add talent to a roster and win a championship. And not only, you know, adding talent that doesn't necessarily fit, but you have that right coaching in place. And so like a guy like Steve Nash, you know, gets a job in Brooklyn and they think they could just throw all these pieces together and win a championship. And it just doesn't happen that way. So, you know, part of me is kind of disappointed. But I do like some of the teams that are playing really well. I love what Phoenix is doing with Devin Booker, and I hope Chris Paul, you know, gets a championship before his career ends. I'm loving that the matchup between Phoenix and Golden State. That's NBA basketball, NBA playoff basketball. You know, watching John Morant ascend to the top of the league, and Stephen Curry trying to hold him off. You know, and then sort of the downfall, Doc Rivers going down and, you know, with Philly. I mean, if Philly can't win can't advance past Miami, you know, does he deserve to keep his job? I mean, he's really not done much in terms of accomplishments like winning championships outside of that Boston team.
Man, so you just hurt me right there. But okay, Joel Embiid, that's all I'm going to say. Anyway, good stuff, man. All right, Ray Porter Jr., what you got, man?
Well, jumping over to the world of baseball, I was just taking a look at the standings, and it's just amazing. Well, you see both New York teams really getting it done, leading their respective divisions, the New York Knicks Mets and the New York Yankees. And you know, it's always cool to see them at the top. And I think there's just something special about the New York Mets this year. I mean, they could make things happen, at least in the National League. I mean, they got Max Scherzer, who's arguably one of the best pitchers in his generation, at least in the last 10 years, I'll say that. And former Pirate Sterling Marte, and they have a bunch of others that looks like it's just getting it, you know, it's all working out for them right now. Now, it's still early in the season, and we have a few more months, but it'll be interesting to see how things finish up for them. And as far as the worst team in baseball, my goodness, the Cincinnati Reds, only 3 wins, my goodness. Wow, I didn't realize they were struggling. And then you have the Pirates at 10-14. So that's proof right there that it's still early. But some teams you could just tell off the gun that look pretty good right now.
It is still early. The Pirates only have 4 more losses than wins. It's very early. Anyway,
it's very early. That's the truth. Really early. Very early.
James Verrett, one of our special guests. James, what you got, man?
Well, I have to go to my school's arch rival, Grambling State, but congratulate Robert Valdez, giving you a scoop. Next couple of days, he'll be named as the special teams coordinator and assistant offensive line coach. He walked away from a very productive job in a state high school in Louisiana where he won a state title. One of his high school players just recently signed with the University of Alabama as a wide receiver. And he wanted the opportunity to chase his dream to become a college coach. And now he's going to go up to Grambling where that was his arch rival. He's a Southern graduate, but he's going to go up to Grambling and coach there. And I know it'll be very emotional for him. He's a New Orleans guy. You know, going to the Bayou Classic in black and gold will be something different, but definitely kudos to him pursuing his dream at the ripe old age of 40-something and going up there to college.
Yeah, black and gold isn't a bad color. I say it for other reasons. Ray and Keith and Cliff will.
You know what's up. Other
reasons too. But anyway, good stuff. Michael Jefferson, what do you got, family?
Well, I'm going to end it like this. I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to say congratulations to the Jackson State Lady Tigers for winning in tennis. Mm. They defeated Prairie View A&M this year. And Prairie View made it to the finals against Jackson State by beating Alabama State. And in that game and that match, Alabama State was playing against Prairie View and down to the last singles match where Alabama State was supposed to win, even though they were ranked second, Prairie View were ranked third. And gosh, you talk about laying it all on the line, those two ladies. One for Prairie View, the other for Alabama State. They played a whale of a game, and it had everyone on pins and needles. Everyone from all schools just happened to just stay and watch that game. This was a semifinal to qualify to go to the finals. And I have to tip my hat, actually, to Alabama State and Prairie View for the semifinal match. But congratulations to Jackson State Lady Tigers for winning the women's tennis title. And also congratulations to Alabama State for defeating the Jackson State Tigers for the men's title. And great matches, even though the both teams, Jackson State Lady Tigers and Alabama State, they won 4-0 in the finals. But they were great matches all around. And this is something I think I'm going to continue to cover. This was my first time covering tennis. And this is something I think I'm going to cover from this point forward, because as sports writers and as people who cover sports, we have to make sure that all of the Olympic sports are covered. And I will make sure that from this point forward, I cover all Olympic sports, because we need to make sure we're there and that we cover them. And one last thing, go Steelers.
Oh, no, he didn't do that. Did he?
That's right. Oh, yes, you did.
That hurt.
There you go, man. You're the man. You're real. That's right. I like it.
As you all know, I've said it many a times on this show. If you ever see a Spartan on the back of a bison riding to the promised land, that's yours truly. Noble State is my alma mater, but Howard University gave me the opportunity to hone my craft, and I get the chance to do that year in, year out, football and basketball. That being said, I got to say congratulations to the Howard men's golf team. They won the collegiate division of the PGA title. They just did that recently, which is awesome. And the last thing I have to say, congratulations to Deshaun Dixon, defensive lineman, Norfolk State. Got invited to, signed, undrafted free agent with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So have to end it on that note. As everybody knows, I always say this, you're rich with this, appreciate it. When you spend it, you don't get a refund. You don't get change. You can't ask for it back. And what I'm talking about is time. Spend it wisely. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Thank you to special guest James Verrett, Michael Jefferson. Special, always thank you to Keith Platt Jr. Cliff McAfee Jr., Ray Porter Jr., and my man Vince Butts. We'll see y'all next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it going down? I get up, all right?